By the three Kennedys. An old friend once told me that all experience is good experience. But I think I might pass if that one came around again.
Jack blinked open his ruby eyes, finding that he was still holding Emma in his arms. When he looked up, he saw that the gable wall of the house where they were sheltering had been damaged, supporting beams snapped like straws. It would only take a small blow of wind to bring the whole wall down, fetching the entire roof with it. He clutched at the tails of the old man's coat to draw his attention, and pointed at the roof.
Out back!
Oh, my goodness. Yes. May I offer my assistance with the young lady?
But the teenager was on his feet, using all of his wiry strength to lift Emma, stumbling out through what had been the kitchen into the overgrown, muddy rear garden. Doc was at his heels, pushing aside an overgrown currant bush that held globular fruit, the size of tennis balls, but colored a leprous, yellowy white. All three of them were soaked, and Jack laid Emma down again, her golden eyes flicking open, looking around her in bewilderment and horror.
Where?
Safe.
Upon my simp eternal soul. But your prediction came as true can be, my dear. A tornado. But it has not whirled us away from Kansas, on the run from the wicked Baron of the West. And the yellow brick road is somewhat beslobbered with mud, I fear.
Oh.
Emma tried to sit up, staring at the ruins all about her, with eyes wide in horror.
This is my fault. All of this is. And there's worse to come.
Jack smiled at her.
No worries. What can be worse than this?
Plenty, Whitey. Plenty.
Shit.
Once the realization had dawned on Ryan and the others what might have happened to Jack, Doc, and Emma, it didn't take long to find the tracks of the four horsemen from the Ville.
They waited for the heart of the tornado to pass, knew we'd hide out. Came in around the back, along that alley. Rain makes it hard to see, but they probably picked them out of the garden of the house where the wall was falling down. Tied them and stuck them double up on the horses. See how the hoof marks on three of the animals are markedly deeper heading out than they were heading in?
That sorry girl. Sharp will stick her in his bloody collection for the rest of her life like a little toy, and probably butcher Jack and poor old Doc.
Ryan patted Christy on the arm and managed a smile.
Not if we stop him, lover. And we will.
Baron Sharp is in need of getting himself chilled.
A man who breeds tigers shouldn't weep if his children are devoured.
Christy nodded.
Right on, sister. Won't catch me shedding tears for him.
Not the easiest villain in the world to break into. Got a pretty good sec force.
Undergunned, though, Ryan.
Agreed.
Ryan dug his index finger into his ears and scraped out the residue of mud.
We're well trained. And Sharp looks like the sort of man who might expect us to try and stage some sort of a rescue.
We gotta try, Dad.
Ryan grinned at the worried expression on his son's face.
Of course we do.
Jack lay on the single bed in the room where he, Doc, and Emma had been taken by Joaquin and the Sec Men. Closely guarded, they'd been searched and their weapons taken from them. Emma hadn't been carrying any sort of weapon. Doc's Lama had been removed, but he had clung stubbornly to the sword stick, claiming that it was only an ebony cane to help him walk.
Ligament trouble in the old days. Stealing second at the top of the fourth in a big college game. Unfortunately, the damage proved to be inoperable, and I am forced to rely on my trusty walking stick.
Doc favored Joaquin with a toothy smile.
The saddest thing of all was that the squint-eyed umpire called me out.
Jack's Colt Python was also taken from him, and one of the guards gave him a cursory pat-down. So cursory that it failed to find any of his hidden throwing knives. The leader of the Sekmen had paused in the doorway.
Should be safe here. Men in the corridor and all around. You wait here until Sharpie decides that he wants to see you. Probably won't be until supper. Likes to do some of his thinking and talking over food, does the Baron.
Now they were alone. Emma sat down in a large brocaded armchair beneath the barred and shuttered window. She put her head in her hands.
Waste of time, weeping. Dishes broke, can't be repaired. Crying don't do shit.
My fault.
Doc laid a gnarled hand on the young woman's shoulder.
Jack's right, my dear. Once the milk is spilled, and the wine drunk, and the cane raised back up when it's in the field... No, that's not quite what I had in mind to say. But the point is, assuming blame does none of us any good, our sole intent now must be to seek a remedy. A remedy a day keeps the doctor away, I always say.
But I couldn't help saying that I saw the tornado, because I did.
Anne was right.
That's not the point, Jack, dear.
The point is, Doc's right. Escape is number one.
I won't escape from here.
Pshaw. The others will put their best feet forward, my dear lady. Ryan's shoulder to the wheel, John Barrymore Dix's chin out, Mildred with her fist clenched. They are not folk who would allow any harm to come to their companions. I know them a deal better than you do, Miss Emma.
And I know what's going to happen, Doc.
Do you now? Do you indeed?
Emma stood, her golden eyes moving from the old man to the albino teenager.
I know the most likely future for us all. I see it clear as I see this room.
Jack swung his legs off the bed, uncoiling with the easy grace of a panther, and he laid his hands on her arms and shook her gently.
I said not always right, not always clear. Said that.
She nodded, tears clustering in her eyes and trickling down her cheeks.
Times I think I know. Other times I know that I know. I see my death, Jack.
We all die sometime. It is simply a matter of where and when.
I shall die within the next 2 days.
No!
Yes, dear friend. I see you alive and safe, and Doc the same.
Do you see whether we manage to escape from this durance vile? And what of Ryan and the others? Do you see their fate?
No. I think that you and Jack will escape safely, but I can't make out any details. I see the death of Baron Sharp.
Jack let go of her.
What?
Oh, yes. My death is linked with his. We go together into the blackness. Almost hand in hand. Perhaps an hour will pass, but not longer.
Jack suddenly opened his arms and took the young woman, embracing her tightly. His mane of stark white hair mingling with her short black locks.
I won't let that happen.
I die. And then the Baron.
So I chill him first. Then you won't die at all.
It doesn't happen that way, my dear. Oh, Jack. I want to live. I've met you and I think I'm falling in love with you. And there could have been some happiness. But it won't happen.
We waiting until it's full dark, lover?
Ryan was crouched in deep undergrowth, 100 paces from the main entrance to the ville.
Maybe. I know I said it looked like an easy egg to crack, but having been inside, I'm not so sure. Might be worth a look around the back.
JB was lying flat on his stomach, his glasses pushed up on his forehead as he peered through the leafy cover.
That zoo collection sort of place is around the rear. Could be there's another door for supplies and stuff like that.
We all going in, Dad?
Probably not, Dean. But don't pull that miserable face at me.
Sorry.
Just me and JB is all. It's the best chance of moving fast and quiet. The rest of you wait here and get ready to give us cover when we all come out.
If you come out.
We'll come out, Mildred.
Sure, Ryan. Just like you did last time and the time before. But there's going to be a day coming when you won't do it. If Emma was here, she'd probably be able to tell you if that day's coming now.
She isn't, and she can't, love. Let's go wreck, Ryan.
Yes. That's what we need.
It was a rear entrance to the ville, a double wooden door about 10 feet high, topped with rusting barbed wire. A dirt track wound away from it toward the north. A single sec man paced slowly up and down in front of the doors, a musket on his shoulder. There was no sign of any other sentry anywhere around. It was late afternoon, the copper bowl of the sun sinking slowly out of sight toward the far west. A few high, thin clouds streaked across it, tinted purple and pink.